we called it I Do, based on that God does I Do. God did I Do to us. He loved us so much that he said, I want to marry them. I want to have a relationship with them. And so aren't you glad that God wanted a relationship with you? That he chose to marry you, that he chose to send his only son to pay a price for you. And so when we say I do together, one day together with that two that we found, because we found that in our series also, that we do life together, and we say we do together today. And so the number one question that we've asked on the big screen is this, is a great marriage possible? And some of us said, you know, maybe okay. Maybe it's going to be a good one, but a great marriage? I don't know about that. And it's possible. Yeah, it's definitely possible. Yeah. But probably it's not probable. And it's not probable because the world's culture has come into the church and made us 50%ers. And 50%ers are for every two marriages, one gets divorced. That same stat is in the church. And we can do better, I think. And I know we can, right, everybody? And so we have God's standard, and if we do it God's way, single young adults here that are dating, high school kids in this room, high school young people in this room, your children still in this room, even though you want to think that you're, but you're not, amen. Are great relationships possible? And I would say yes. As a single adult, they're possible, but they're not probable. Do you know why? Because you as a young person, if you do it the world's way, you're going to get the world's results. That means heartbreak. That means pain. That means soul ties. That means so many things. And God would say, children of God, single adults of God in this room, do it God's way and you'll guard your heart today. Right, everybody? And so we want to fight the destruction of marriage and relationships at the enemy's onslaught. And so we made five commitments to fail-proof marriage and relationship. And number one, we discuss pursue God. In other words, I found my one, which wasn't her, which wasn't him. It was God. We put so much pressure, we discussed during that sermon, we had a talk about it, on that significant person, that spouse, that they're not made for it. No boyfriend, no girlfriend, no husband, no wife was ever wired to be God. That's why God is one, right? And he's our one. If you make that husband or that wife, they're going to let you down. They're not made for that. And so we put too much pressure on that boyfriend, girlfriend to be your one. And God is wanting to be your one today, right? And then we found out, somebody shout, fight fair. Fight fair. All of us have conflict in this room. Every one of us. We walked in with conflict. We rode up here maybe with conflict, up in the car, up in here, right? But, you know, but it's how we have conflict. Do we fight fair? Do we have the rules of engagement right? And so this series talks about that. Go back to our website, look at that, or go back to our Facebook page and you have it. We discussed last week, somebody shout, have fun. Wasn't that a good one? Amen. Just not because I preach it, because it's God's word, right? If you missed that service, you missed out a lot. Amen. So romance is it. And we discussed that you got to keep the fires burning. Passion needs to burn. And so it takes work to have fun, but you should have fun in marriage. This day, we're speaking of staying pure. We'll discuss that in a moment. Finally, next week, we'll conclude with never give up. There's an enduring thought that great relationships have, and an enduring thought is that they endure. They keep going. They don't quit on each other. Great relationships endure. You want to invite a friend, another couple. A relationship begins with your neighbor saying, hey, come on, neighbor, come be with me. Amen. And you can bring your neighbor. Amen. Next Sunday. Is that cool? Yeah. Let's talk about staying pure. Hebrews on the big screen in your handout. Let's read it together on three. You on Facebook, you have the outline. You can look upon with us. You can even read on the screen, amen, on your phone. Hebrews 13:4. On three. One, two, three. Marriage should be honored by all. Marriage bed should be kept pure. And the sexually immoral. Now, there are 1,000 verses that I'm about to give you. We're going to read 1,000 verses right now. We're not. You're going to say, man, when are we going to have it? I could give you 1,000 verses on sexual purity because God's word is full of them. Is it was God that wanted to take away your fun? I'm going to give them so many rules that they're not going to be able to do them. And I'm going to sit back in heaven and laugh. Ah, look at the humans trying to obey all my laws. That's not the way God wanted it. You know what God did? He gave us these guidelines and these parameters and barriers and boundaries so we could have safe life. so we could have a life that is well and a life that is whole. But we do life differently, and we don't do it God's way, and that's why we get hurt. And so this isn't God coming against us because of rules and regulation. No, God wants to give you life. If we do it God's way, it's life, isn't it? And life abundant. Amen. Boy, I wish I had some Presbyterian people shouting me down, but nobody's... I'm preaching 54% better than you're saying amen today, but that's okay, amen? God's not a restrictive God. God wants you to have life today. God, if anything, God gives you freedom, right? Amen. Freedom to serve Him today. And so there's a standard of purity that God gives us in His Word because He wants to give us boundaries and He wants us to live with those. And you say, ah, nobody does life that way. Come on, preacher. Or they may shout in culture. Who's that way, old-fashioned like that? God's Word works. And it works in any culture and it works in any society. It works within this church. Ephesians 5:3 on the big screen are in your handout today. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Not even just a little bit of it. Because Paul knew when he wrote this to Living Faith that he said, even just a little bit will lead us down this slippery slope that we don't want to go down. Right, everybody? And so sexual immorality, that word is a Greek word where we get our word pornography really from. It's something that I really can't pronounce correctly, so I'm not going to try. But the definition of the Greek word sexual immorality is anything that's outside of the bounds of marriage between one woman and one man as husband and wife. Anything. So that would include pornography. That would include adultery. That would include lust. That would include homosexuality. That would include shacking up. Y'all know what that's living together, right? That would include masturbation. That would include them all. Anything, there must not even be a hint. Jesus even raised it to this next level. He said, even if a man thinks of about a woman, he said, no longer is it thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, even if now, if it's in your head that you've undressed her or you thought about it, you've already committed adultery. Wow. Yeah, so even that hint of fantasizing, of going to the next level in your head, that's sexual immorality. I need some hope. How about you? Yeah, we need God in this place. And even as the children of God, we still need some hope in this room. And so thank God today. Amen. That's why the Bible says, not in your handout, but on the big screen, 2 Corinthians 6:18, a real important scripture. Flee. Flee from sexual immorality. All the things I just mentioned that are outside the bounds of marriage, because the marriage bed is holy, right? According to Hebrews. That you are not your own. You were bought with what? A price. Therefore, honor God with your what? So in other words, if you're fleeing, it's like, run, Forrest, run! You run, man. In other words, get away from that. It's not today, I'm going to, it's casual, you know, we'll handle that, I'll manage it. It's just casual, man, I can do this thing. No, run, get up and leave, amen, get out of there, amen, get out, man, just, you're not going to manage it. It's not to be, it's to be done God's way, right, everybody? Back in the day, when a youth group and two of my great leaders rose up and, that's my fault. I'm thinking it. I have this Spock mind, and I can make things shift. Amen. I'm going to make you do something. Now, there he comes back again. See, that's why you need to come. Amen. Because you don't see what I see, Facebook. Amen. So there was these two young adults, and they'd grown up, and, you know, they were going to get married, but, you know, premarital counseling began to happen, and, you know, they just said, you know, hey, we just start doing naked gymnastics together. You know, we run into each other and we're naked. They didn't literally say that, but they meant that. And, you know, I was listening. And finally she said, as most girls do, I will break up with you if we keep doing that because we're not married. And that young lady had the right mentality, flee from sexual, you know what I'm saying? Because she knew that her future was... And God, to God be the glory, they got married. Give me a good amen. Amen. The Bible says, see, she took it into this thought that her body wasn't her own. If you're here as a non-believer, a non-Christian, I'm not picking on you. You might think, you guys are totally whack. Well, y'all really believe that? And yeah, we really believe that our body's not ours, and we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and our body's God. And so we honor God with our body. Now, I'm not pushing you away or out this door. I want you to be here. I want you seeking God with me. But if you're a Christian, this really applies to us. We live life this way. It's our standard, right, everybody? I have a country boy coming up to help me, amen. And he married a country girl, and so now he's a country guy, amen. and so he's going to help me build a fire, and he does this, you know, on his land and property. So I just kind of thought I would show you something, an illustration about what we could do. And I brought some lighter fluid and a match and so forth. Yeah, it's okay. And I'll just put a little bit on there just because it doesn't take a lot, right, to keep things going. And thank you, man. I want to get you full of lighter fluid. Thank you. Give Leonard a big hand. Yeah, thank you, Leonard. And so I can, in a moment, I'll light this and, you know, it'll be okay. You know, I think those bricks will hold it, right? Yeah, contain it. Now, what you're saying probably right now, like, Pastor, I'm looking for the first exit. You know, where are my kids? You know, thank God they're not in this building. And I'm not going to do that to you, but you might start smelling the lighter fluid in a minute. Amen. See, the problem wasn't the fire, because us guys like to burn stuff, right? But the problem is where I want to light the fire. And I want to light it where there's carpeting, where you're at, where it's a building and it's not outside. The good thing that we did, though, is if it was outside, we put these parameters around it. And that's good. We need that. Fire is kind of like passion. Fire is good, because it warms us. If it's on a stove, I mean, you thank God for great meals. If it's outside in the cold, you're camping. Some of you guys, you know, it warms you up, and you need a good fire. But fire outside of the boundaries, fire can cause a lot of destructions. It can bring death. It can burn us. It can hurt us. And that's how passion is with God. See, God wants you to have passion. God wants you to. He created you with passion and feeling. He wants you to have it. Thank God for it. But He wants you to have, even married people, boundaries. And that's why He's given us this word, right? Single adults in this room, He wants you to have feelings. He wants you to have the passion. He wants you to go for life. He wants you to live life to His fullest. But you also need boundaries. And thank God for it. And if we don't live within those boundaries, we're not governed by anybody. We're really not. We're living for ourselves, as it says in the scripture. So the thought is right here, passions need parameters. Your passion needs a parameter. I need parameters with my passion. The purity matters when it comes to dating and marriage, doesn't it? Yeah? And if we do it God's way, we belong to Jesus, just like we discussed. And so we're going to do it God's way. We're going to look like God. Amen? Give me a good amen. Amen. Because we identify Him. So we do what our Lord desires us to do, because we love our Lord, and we're going to do, Lord Jesus, You love me. I love You, and I'm going to do what You desire me to do today. Right, everybody? And thank God for it today. Amen. I want to ask you a couple of questions as you're here today. And you can be honest, everybody. You know, just, you can, you know, why don't you just lift your hand if this is you? Okay, you don't have to shout out amen. How many plan on being addicted to porn in the next 5 years? Anybody? Nobody raises their hand? Good, that's good. You know, because you're looking around. Is he going to raise his hand? You know, wives are looking, please. How many plan to have an affair with somebody in the next 5 years, and you're married? Anybody? Anybody? You might look at your other, and you better not raise your hand. Amen. let me just a little bit back. Maybe you'll raise your hand. How many just want to have an emotional affair in your head? Just, you know, you're going to think about it, you know, with her. You know, she's cute at the office. You're thinking about her, or you know, the guy down the street. You know, you're thinking about him, and you know, he's married to somebody else, but you think about him. You're going to have an emotional affair. Is it anybody? Anybody? Yeah. But you know what's interesting? 75% of stats say, even within church, that that's going to happen. You're going to have an emotional affair. You're going to have an adulterous affair. You're going to get addicted to pornography. And so the stats line up. I don't think, you know, we have this five-year plan. We always say, five-year plan. I'm going to be out of debt in 5 years. Five-year plan. I'm going to be addicted to porn. 5 year plan, I'm going to have an emotional affair. 5 year plan, in 5 years, I'm going to have an adulterous relationship. Nobody plans those things. Boy, it's quiet in this church. And you don't plan those things because we don't have boundaries, and they happen to us not by accident. they happen to us because of the boundaries that God has put in our lives. We don't do, we don't set up. And if we did God's word the right way, we would have life abundant. We wouldn't have heartbreak. So what are some Bible parameters? What are some passions that we need that God's given us that are parameters? Are you glad you're at Living Faith? Yes. Number one is this. Number one is this. Make, somebody shout, make a commitment to God's standard. I used to love when you shouted back in the 60s, but you don't shout anymore. Maybe somebody took away your voice. Amen. So make a commitment to God's word. See, culture will push on you. Things will push on you against your values, where you need to change. You need to be about this way. What I love about God and God's standards are they don't change. God is God. God's right. We're not. And so we need to do the right way with God, right? And so God is for you, you know, because God is for you. And everyone has an opinion. I think we get that from culture and Facebook posts, and we got to say everything about our opinion and keep it. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, do it. But you know what? Everybody has an opinion. And only God's right, right? So why not express God's opinion on Facebook, right? And some of y'all do that, and that's very good. He is God, and you are not God. Is that good? And so that's why he wrote the owner's manual on you. He can fix you. He knows how you operate. In Psalms 139, how can a young man or young woman keep her way pure, keep his way pure? By living according to his word. And it goes on to say, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin. Because that same young person, that same person at Living Faith Church, me and you in this room, if we get God's word according to his standard and live that way, and put it in our heart and hide it in our heart, there'll be a moment of testing. But when that moment of testing comes, we'll pass the test because it's hidden. The standard of God's word, that's where the line's at. That's where we build ourselves today. And so there's things that we line ourselves up to. That's the line of God, and God's word is that standard. It's like a forest field, kind of. You guys are Jim Kirk fans here and so forth, live long and prosper. That forest field, it kind of boom, boom, you know, we're going to run into it because we have a standard today and we live it that way. That day that you said, I do, from this day forward, you committed to not commit adultery to each other. Towards another individual outside the bounds of marriage, that you wouldn't commit adultery. And so the forest, but see, you get closer to the forest field and walking the line like Johnny Cash did, which is a good song, by the way, but it's not a good thing. Because if you're walking the line, all it takes is a little bit of a bump or wind to blow you over onto the other side. And you don't want to do that. You want to have that field of the word of God in your life and that commitment of God's standard in your life. Therefore, you're staying away from that moment of crossing the line and you're not even getting closer. A little flirt here, a little fantasy here, a little meeting here, a little wink, wink here, a little looky, look here. And all of a sudden you're on the line and you're beyond that forest field because there's no standard in your life. Amen. Amen. Have the standard of God's word in your life today, and God's way is always right. If it's hidden in your heart, I may not sin, Lord. Amen. The second thought is this: manage your mind. Somebody say, manage my mind. Manage my mind. All impurity begins in the mind. There's no such thing as a one-night stand. That was a two-week stand. Because you thought about it for 2 weeks before you ended up in the hotel room at 2 p.m. in the afternoon and read it for 1 hour. You thought about it. Boy, I need to throw some jokes at you guys, right? They're laughing on Facebook. Manage your media intake. Be accountable. Job says it this way, 31:1. Why don't you read it together? You haven't had any fun all day. 1, 2, 3, go. I made a covenant with my... Are a guy. Amen. You can look at it that way. Single young adults in this room, I used to hate when I was single and my pastor would preach these sermons because I wasn't married. And they would tell me, don't do that, don't do that. You know, and I got to stay pure until I get married. They think I'm Paul. the Apostle Paul, yeah, look, he wrote half of the New Testament. And I would get really bummed out because it was like I was going to hell. You're going to get STDs. Do that. And I was thinking, man, I'm not going to go to heaven. You know, I'm not pure. And I think the church has done an injustice. If we would just fall in love with Jesus and we get our young people to fall in love with Jesus, amen. I can't tell you some real practical things that I learned, and that's why I got married real fast with Irma once I found my two. Give me a good amen. Amen. See, Irma and I, when we dated, we loved each other a whole bunch. Give me a good amen. We loved, and we wanted to express that love, but we knew we had to wait. And so we didn't wait too long. Give me a good amen till we came to the altar. Give me a good amen. We didn't get married in a week, but it took about a year. But amen, thank God, we got everything paid for before we had our wedding. But we got married. Give me a good amen. You can serve the Lord together, or you can sin together. And the first one's a lot better. Give me a good amen. And so thank God for it today. Amen. I want to applaud the couples in this room that were shacking up at one time, and they made the covenant to get married and do it the right way. Because there's God involved in that. God's a redemptive God, right, everybody? I don't want to go dancing through the blood of Jesus, and His grace is sufficient and all that, and sing that great song. Yeah, His grace is, and He forgives me. But Jesus still died on the cross. And it was a horrific, terrible death. Amen. And sexual immorality, amen, puts them to death over and over if I keep committing that. Amen. And that goes for married folks and unmarried folks in this room. So I got some boundaries in my life that I had to learn the hard way. I'm never alone with a woman besides my wife and my daughter. And one day I'm going to have my little granddaughter, my grandbaby, amen. I'm going to be alone with her, amen. She's going to be a blessing, right? But until that day, I'm never alone without my wife or my daughter. I'm there with just them alone. So under any circumstances, I've learned not just being a pastor, but a Christian man of God, woman of God in this room today, that it's an appointment. You know, I'm traveling just 5 minutes. I remember I was bivocational as a pastor, and this customer needed to get a ride of the opposite sex, and they tried to tell me at my job, hey, you need to pick her up and give her a ride. I go, no, I'm a pastor. You know, they made fun of me. I still remember that. And thank God I don't have that job anymore. Give me a good amen. But I stood my ground, and there was another way of working that out. Amen. Someone else gave her a ride, and that's okay. Never have a lunch appointment with the opposite sex except my wife and my daughter. There's a window in every church office in this room. And thank God for David installing those windows. Amen. I remember the window, the church was built on budget, so we didn't have windows in the offices. And we, especially mine, and I said, you know, we just got to get a window. And David found, hey, Habitat for Humanity has this office window, stained that door, made it look like new. Thank God for Habitat. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so I'm never alone. And you say, man, pastor, are you that vulnerable? Are you that weak? 99% of the time, probably not. But I'm 1%, I can be stupid. And all it takes is that 1% to throw 18 years down the drain of hard work. Because this was hard work getting to this point, from my home to an elementary school to a storefront to a day-old bread store to this point right here. In one moment, 1 minute, I can throw 18 years of work, hard work, away. Do you understand that today? See, there's this power that we got of magnifying the consequences that we can get about the power of fast forward. All of us have that ability in our mind that you can fast forward. If I keep doing this, what's going to become of me? Single adults in this room, young people, high school, if I keep going to his house and nobody's home, and mom and dad aren't home for 2 hours, what's going to happen to me? A young man, that leg is going to cross your leg, and you're going to feel something smooth like you've never felt anything that smooth ever in your life. And all the men know that. And that's why you should never be alone. Magnify the consequences. If I keep doing this, we're going to wind up in bed together. If I keep doing this, and keep doing that. Married people, if I keep doing this, this is what's going to become. I keep flirting. I keep having this relationship outside the bounds of marriage. I keep instant messaging or hiding the message and deleting the texts after it. So I think I'm hiding out. And my wife doesn't know it. My husband doesn't know about it. keep going that route, what's going to happen? Magnify the consequences. What will become of you? What will become of all the work? You're going to lose it in a moment today. And so I've done the thought, what if I go down the wrong path? This hasn't happened, but I want you to hear it because I've magnified the consequences of what will happen if I go down the wrong path and commit adultery. First, I would have to go to my God that died for me, that gave his life for me, and I would have to go, and he already knew what happened because he knows everything, and I would have to confess to my holy God and the God that died for me and sent his son, and there would be a reckoning there. Not that he's going to beat me, but oh, how a heavenly father's disappointed like an earthly father is, right? Amen. The next thing I would do is I would have to go to my wife and not even look her in the eye probably because I would be a big coward. And I would say, honey, this happened. And I wouldn't be able to call her honey anymore because she wouldn't want me to call her honey. Do you see what destruction I would bring to my marriage? The next thing that I would have to do, the next two important people are my son and my daughter. And I would have to tell them, I'm so sorry. And like most men, sometimes they make excuses of why that happened and what happened. And I hope that I would be man enough, if that were to happen, that I would say, this is my fault. Yeah, that happened. And then, you know what I would have to do? By the way, I'm still their heroes, my son and daughter, for some sort of weird reason. I don't know what they see in me, but I'm their hero. And I would devastate them. And I'm not going to do that. The next thing that I would face is you as my church. And I would have to come to you, and I wouldn't do I sin. Hopefully, maybe I wouldn't even come back because I wouldn't have a job anymore. Do you understand that? And the next thing I would face are the haters of living faith, because there are haters out there. You see, I always knew he was messed up. I knew everything was going to come crashing down. I knew it, see? Yeah. I was just waiting for it to happen. And I would make their dream come true. Listen to me. That hasn't even happened. But do you feel that heaviness? Do you feel that funk? Imagine if it were to happen. Now, you're not a pastor in this room. You're a Christian, just like I am. You have the ability to magnify the consequences that same way. Fast forward if you keep doing what you're doing today, and there will be consequences. According to Proverbs, Solomon wrote this, 6:32, a man who commits adultery or a woman that commits adultery lacks judgment. Whomever does so destroy, they lost it all, right? Amen. Married couples, some of the things that you've done in this room, you have separate Facebook accounts, you put them together because you want to make sure there's no temptation. Some couples share every password, and they should. On their computers, their phone, there's nothing hidden. And some decide, you know, hey, what kind of movie am I going to watch? I'm going to watch that where they show that. I'm not going to watch that because it opens up the door into our home, and we're not going to have that. The third one, finally, is this, principle three, about parameters, about boundaries that we all need in our lives as biblical people that we live. Three, maintain proper relationships. You need to nurture the good ones and flee from the wrong ones. Somebody say that with me. Nurture the good ones. Nurture the good ones, flee the bad ones. Yeah. I'm in love with Irma, and the more I fall in love with her, the less I look towards other things. Oh, can't look there. Bad pastor. If I just look at her, amen, the more I love her, the more the Kia that drives by, the Ferrari that drives by. No, man, I got her, amen. I don't need to be looking at, I got something in the garage, amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. I'm coming home too. Give me a good amen. Amen. How many would agree with me that Billy Graham finished well? If anybody, we can say, I'm not sure if that dude made it to heaven, but man, Billy Graham made it to heaven. And they're like, even sinners know that. Billy Graham made it to heaven. One of the things I noticed about Dr. Graham, and they call him America's pastors, of course, how he finished well. And he had these rules as a young man in his ministry. Of course, he wasn't perfect, but if anybody was a standard about ministry, it was Billy Graham, right? If anybody was a standard about being a Christian, it might be this man, right? And so he had this thing that he did, rules really, guidelines to live a life of integrity. And he has a couple of them, but the top three, can I read them to you? They were this. He immorality was never really a problem in his ministry, and he really had a ministry of integrity because the first thing that he did, he operated with financial transparency. Somebody shout, he paid his bills. And he probably was a tither. I can guarantee you that. And so there was integrity in his life, his whole life. The second thing that he did, which we're speaking at today, he avoided even any appearance of sexual immorality. There's stories of him that he would send his aides or his armor bearers into the hotel room that he was going to stay in, and they would walk in and check out the room to make sure that he wasn't booby-trapped or there wasn't something of a setup, a scandal being taken place that they wouldn't have to answer to. They would check out the room. They just did that so he would have integrity in his life, that he would just stay away from that. The third thing that he did, which is so incredible, and I think it would help us all, he avoided criticizing other pastors and churches. If he didn't have anything good to say, he just didn't say it. Amen? And so maybe we speak well of every church on our block, and we thank God for every church that there's a pastor and they're serving the Lord. Right, everybody? Guard purity. Have integrity in your life today. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise will grow. Yeah, you'll be wise. You'll be a wise guy. But if you're a companion of fools, you're going to suffer some harm, right? And all through this today, there's probably three responses that you'll come at me with. One is defensiveness, and it's in your handout today. You're feeling defensive. It's probably say, well, guys are just this way. We're wired. We're not like the Apostle Paul, that Bible stuff you told me about. And you're justifying. It's not my fault. If she would just do this, I can manage this. If he would just be this way, and you're justifying and you're defensive. And can I speak at that real clearly? That's a rebellious spirit. Because you're so rebellious, you don't want to take God's word as truth today. And you're above correction. Nobody can correct you. You need to drop your guard and get corrected by God's word and let God's spirit speak to you today. The second thought is remorse. And that's where, I'm bad. I'm horrible. I'm hopeless. Nothing good is ever going to become of me. And I'm so glad that there's conviction in the Bible. The enemy would condemn you and satanic. The devil has his playground with us being condemned. You're this, you're that, you're that. We all have a past, every one of us in this room. And he brings this remorse into our lives or what we did yesterday. But there's conviction, and I'm so glad for conviction because the Holy Spirit has this red light. Boop, boop, don't go there. Don't look at that. Boop, remember I hit the word of God is hitting my heart. And boop, 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 boop. It's getting brighter, amen. It's accelerating. And you stop doing that because the Holy Spirit convicts you. And you go, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to do that. Amen. I'll stay away from that. I'll do what God's told me. And there's just something about saying in the name of Jesus, even if you have to shout it out loud to stop that temptation from coming over your life today. And that way there's no remorse. You're not hanging your head low and you're not saying, I wanted to do better. No, that's why you need to do this third thought. And it's this, fill in the blank, but don't check out on me. Repentance. Stay with me, because I know the way you are living faith. You'll put away all your stuff and purse and putting away all the crackers that you pulled out earlier in the clip. Just hold up. We're not going to do anything wrong, but repentance is I've sinned, and it's the best, man. It's I've sinned, God forgive me, and you mean it. You change your mind on the thought, amen, that God forgive me. Is the band in the house? Man, they're not even in here, are they? I guess we're going to play some music, and they're probably going to run in here in a minute. Show me the final scripture, because I wanted them up here, but this is the first time the band's never been in here. Okay, you're in here, amen. Michelle, thank God for Michelle. She'll sing, amen. Repentance, amen. You imagine how we look on Facebook hearing that the band's not here? What a shame, amen. Sorry, guys, amen. We are a great church, though, amen. The thought of repentance is found in the scripture. You guys can come on up. Amen. We'll wait for you. Let's read this together as they're coming. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Shout it out loud. Godly sorrow brings what? On three. One, two, three. Godly sorrow brings. godly sorrow brings repentance. And that word repentance means metanoia. And there's a great church called Metanoia, and it really means once I was sinning, but I'm changing my mind. I'm going to change my mind. I'm not going to sin anymore, right? I'm going to change my mind on that today, amen. God transforms me, heals me because I repent. God forgives me. I forgive myself today. Godly sorrow brings repentance. And look what it does. It leads to life. You get the best, don't you? You get salvation. And on the contrary, it says it leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings what? You keep doing that. You fast forward. It's going to lead to something that you don't want to open up. And God help us today. A career criminal might say something like this, you know, they're in, you know, hey, would you do that thing again? You know, you're caught. You're now here behind bars. I would never do that again. He'll probably tell you that. I'll never do that again. If he repents, he'll come out a changed man. You know, we've had people like that at Living Faith, thank God for them. They've turned and they've come back and they're living for God. But maybe a career criminal, if you guys will agree with me on this, they'll say, you know what? Yeah, I'm sorry I did that, but next time I'm going to be smarter. I'm not going to get caught. And that's that scripture right there. You're sorry for that moment that you got caught, but it's eventually going to bring you death if you have that mentality. Do y'all get that today? We don't want to be a career criminal. We want to be that one that repents and says, God, change my mind. I'm going to follow you now. I'm going to change directions and do what God's told me to do. Right, everybody? Bow and pray with me right now for this moment. Holy Spirit, sweep over this place with your grace, with your love. We all live under conviction today. We're convicted by God. And I would pray right now, Father, that you would meet us with forgiveness and strength and your power. Holy Spirit, move now. How you move. You're not contained within these walls, God. You go into hearts, God, today. You're not. Thank you, Lord. Courage and wisdom come. Today, Father, I pray for the people of Living Faith Church, also with along with myself, Lord, that we would make a commitment to your standard, God's standard in my life, and I would live it, Lord. I would know where the line is, God, and it's built, Lord, there. I would manage my mind, Lord. I would have the power of fast forward when things are in my life that aren't right, and along with the people of the Lord, we would walk together. I pray for relationships, Lord, that we would flee from those that aren't right, but we would nurture the ones that are right, Lord. We would love those that we love, Lord, in a greater capacity in this room. Lead us, God. I believe with all my heart that God has brought you here for this moment. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, or you're far away from God, you might say, well, I've done this and that. How could God ever forgive me? All the sin that you ever did, plus millions and trillions more, was put on Jesus' back. My sin, your sin, everybody else's sin in this room, all of San Antonio, Texas' sin was put on the back of Jesus. The world's sin, for God so loved the world. All the world's sin was put on Jesus' back that day that he died for our sins. And that's what makes you good enough if you receive Christ today as your Savior. You're not good enough, but Jesus was. He was perfect. He was the spotless Lamb. And I just announced to you today, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you are far away from God, this is your moment that you can come close. He's a prayer away. And if you would lift your hand right now in this moment of holiness, say, that's me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll note your hand. I'll lead you in a prayer from the platform. But if that's you, would you lift your hand? Yes, ma'am. You're my sister. Somebody else, and say, that's me. I need Christ. I'm far away from my God. Anybody just making sure? Yes, I see your hand. You can put it down, beloved. You're my sister. Someone else. Someone making sure. I want to come close to God again. Your relationship with people won't be good until your relationship with God is right. He needs to be your one. Someone else, just making sure. Let's pray this prayer out loud. All the sinners saved by grace. If you lifted your hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear right now. Father, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Thank you for a new beginning. I'll live for you, Lord. I repent. My direction has changed now, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just want to speak this word into your spirit as you stay in an attitude of prayer. If you need to quit that job, man of God, because you're a man of God, because there's something going on that's immoral, sexually immoral, even mind fantasy, you need to quit the job. God will bless you. You know, you've prayed, but you need to do something else. If you need to throw away that smartphone for a season because you're addicted that way, or let go right now to your spouse, do you know how brave it would be for your husband to admit something? You need to give him the grace, because God gave you the grace, woman of God, when you sinned. You know how incredibly brave your man is if he were to come and do that today? And so you would be healed and say, honey, we're going to work this out. We're going to be together on this. And you're saying, no, if I ever told that, she would leave me. No, I'm commanding right now her by God's word to do the right thing. And there's grace today. Not because I said it, because the Bible says that today. You need to live by God's standard today, even if God is speaking to you to do that today. Woman of God in this room, if there's somebody that's been flirting with you at your job, get another job. Yeah. God will honor you. God will bless you. Young person in this room, if you're on the verge of doing something immoral today with the opposite sex, then stop that in the name of Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Do the right thing. Guard your purity. Restore it again, Lord, in our young people today. Thank you, Father. We receive your word, God, because it blesses us today. We thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen today. If you did those things receiving Christ, would you fill out the connection card? Those on Facebook, if you receive Christ, let us know. We'd love to pray for you. I believe also, if you want to keep it a private matter, you can instant do the message with us, and we'll make sure we do that and see that. Connection cards are found in front of you. Make sure that you fill those out. Growing in faith. For those that lifted their hand, there's a Growing in Faith class that happens at 9 a.m. It's taught by one of our best teachers. Her name's Miss Laura. She's a blessing to our congregation. At 9 a.m., she'll be a blessing to you. 9 a.m. in our student center, you can have that class. It's free. Make sure you show up and then come to the second service. Is that cool? Yeah? Amen with everybody. I want to receive the date today's